you know, a movie like this, how did you guys feel just in the general sense? Did you feel like you would have wanted to see it in theaters, or you liked the home experience?
It was fine. I mean, this doesn't need a theater experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think so,
I will say I was very excited for it.
I saw the trailer for this, I think, during Tenet.
Yeah, same here.
And I think that trailer for this movie was the best part of the whole Tenet experience.
No comment.
For me. That was just for you, Yuzi. That was just for you.
And, I was very excited about this movie, too, to be fair, because this cast is... It's not like your typical A-list cast, but it's kind of like the new wave, especially when you're talking about black actors. I mean, I think Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield are two individuals who I think have really broad acting range and also have been really receptive to these types of roles where they are forced to kind of portray some of the truths about you know, African-American society in America, right? Like, they've been open to those roles, I think. And so, I mean, obviously the first movie I'm thinking of in my head is Get Out, right? Because that's a movie that caught everyone by surprise and kind of the social commentary that it was making. And they're both in that movie. And then they're both together here again. And it just made me think about kind of, you know, Denzel did Malcolm X, and then he, you know, he kind of had that pedigree suddenly, right? I wonder how that's going to go for Daniel Kaluuya, because I think he's really done, like, really introspective roles to this point.
Yeah, I mean, and he was also in Black Panther, right?
Who was he in Black Panther? Oh, yeah, you're right. He's not one of the main two, but he's another one of the tribesmen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then we got Jesse Plemons, poor man's Matt Damon, and...
not a bad description.
Dominique Fishback, who she's in a lot of different. I think I saw her in another HBO show, Deuce. She was in something else too. She's a good actress.
You want to know what she was
Project
in?
Power.
Project Power. Let's go. Our favorite movie of all time.
Oh my
gosh.
She was in Project Power.
Yeah, she was really. I mean, that movie was bad, and she was bad in it. But it was because of the movie that she, you know, like I think we all agree she's probably a better actress.
She was good in Deuce. She was good in Deuce.
Yeah, she's actually really good in the Deuce for sure.
But Jesse Plemons is he is so awesome, man.
When you look at his trajectory, it's a pretty interesting trajectory, right? I mean, he's been around for quite a while at this point.
You know what? He's probably more like Philip Seymour Hoffman than he is like, man, he just looks like...
He's a combination. He's
a combination.
Yeah, he's like
But his acting is very close to Philip Seymour Hoffman's, I think.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
That's some high praise.
It's closer than Matt Damon's is. Oh, yeah. Dude, he's a great... He was in... Remember when we saw him in... I'm saying remember, like, you guys were with me. Breaking Bad. That's, like, the first time that I saw him. Then he was in Fargo.
Oh.
A season of Fargo. And he was ridiculous in that role. You know, he was in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
In one of my favorite episodes of Black Mirror. He's such a good actor, man.
All the things that you're listing off now. I mean, they're roles that he really had to... He does this particular thing where he's able to play kind of this guy who's trying to keep his head down, but there's like something dark brewing inside. And he does that really well. Yeah, and Breaking Bad was like the epitome of that because, you know, I think the point in that series, obviously it helped that series was like just so insane to begin with. And the point at which he enters, he still is able to bring it up a notch, I felt. So I had a lot of respect for his character in that. And then, I mean, he's done so many things since then, but I, you know, thinking back to Friday Night Lights, where you see him just as this, like, you know, kind of,
he was in Friday Night Lights.
Yes,
he's just a jock.
He's like the best friend, I think, of the backup quarterback who ends up like thrust into the starting role. So he's kind of like the kid who's not cool, but is tangentially cool because his friend got upgraded to starting quarterback.
That's hilarious.
It's a much like goofier role, and he does really well in that too, I think. But I mean, yeah, he's been in so many. He was in The Master, which we've reviewed on this podcast, The Irishman as well. So I mean, he's just been around for a lot longer than like Dominique Fishback, for example. You know,
right.
He's been doing acting since the late 90s.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look it. I don't know how old he is, but, you know, I take him as a young guy, and that's probably inaccurate. He just probably has a baby face. Yeah, I mean, he's like 30. He's in his 30s, so.
Dude, he's not that old at all.
We're in our 30s, dude.
Yeah.
He's 1 year older than us, man.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yes, but he's not a young boy as I am imagining him in my head. He's obviously...
You're still stuck in thinking he's in Friday Night Lights, so he's like that teenage boy.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, so I mean, he's a guy who's really developed his career very well under the radar, probably, because I don't think until maybe very recently he's like actually been considered, you know, quite a good actor. But you know, he's never really had a, I can't think, can you guys think of a movie where he's been like the star?
No. I mean, I would argue that Black Mirror episode. That's a, I mean, an hour and a half.
It's pretty much a movie, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's never really a star, but he's always like struggling on a line between being a hero and being an anti-hero. You know, he's always sort of like just left of center. Like he's always just barely the bad guy, I feel.
Yeah, and he uses that to his advantage really well.
I think.
I mean, he's good at creeping up on you in these movies.
Yeah. But anyways, we probably shouldn't talk about him that much. He wasn't like the craziest part of this movie.
Right. Can we talk about the background of this movie a little bit? Obviously, this movie is heavily based on real events, not fully. But this has to do with the Black Panther organization, the Illinois chapter, in the late 60s, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did you guys know a lot about this kind of like source material beforehand?
Faraz is the one who told... Not really told me about it, but I was not familiar with who Fred Hampton was, but I know the Black Panthers and I know the political stuff behind it. But
this is not the reason I was excited for it, is because I feel like this is a story, or even just the person Fred Hampton, like, you know, we're not taught about him in school. And I mean, for whatever reason, I think obviously we should be, but I don't know, like sometime after high school or something, I don't know what I was doing, but I came across his name. I started reading up on him. I'm like, wow, how come we didn't know about him? Like how pivotal and significant he was.
In Chicago specifically.
In Chicago specifically, yes. And just the potential he had in the civil rights movement and how abrupt, like, I guess the end was for him. Like, I don't know. It's just like an incredibly fascinating story. And it culminates like a lot of what was wrong with, now was and is kind of wrong with our system in stifling, you know, positive change. So like I was just super excited for this movie just for that reason. Like, nice, people will get to know who he is.
Mm-hmm. I think this was probably one of the best, this is the best timely choice that we've made as a podcast to watch. I'm gonna say you, Faraz. I think that you were behind this, but timely in terms of the events that are happening in the world, the cultural, political ramifications that this movie, I'm not going to say ramifications, but the things that this speaks about culturally and politically in America. It's just amazing that they were able to capture a lot of that kind of background, a lot of that history for that time period that's still even relevant today, that they were still able to capture all of that in this movie. I was kind of in awe by that. I thought that was really cool.
And you, so this, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was going to say that the struggle still continues. This movie is sort of a call to action. I hope it's a call to action, you know?
Interesting.
I think you're both raising really good points. And Faraz, the way you were describing kind of how Fred Hampton just kind of fell in your lap and you were like, wait, how have I never heard of this? I think a lot of people are going to have that experience. And if they already know about Fred Hampton, they likely have had an experience like yours when they first learned about him as well. Because it's just what I thought was, you know, really interesting about this movie material. And I think why this movie will be important is because a lot of people just don't know this story. And there's kind of like this perception that like there was this guy, his name was Martin Luther King Jr. And he was killed. We don't know what happened, like confused face. And then, you know, after that, like, you know, some other stuff happened. And here we are today. This movie sheds light on the fact that no, there were other rising threats and there was a system in place to try and deal with those threats, and here's how things work. Fred Hampton is not a name you would know unless you were kind of invested in this history, and I think that makes this very interesting. If I was watching a movie about Martin Luther King, I think it would have been a lot more stuff that I know, and for that reason I may have been less interested. This movie is important because it's going to be the first experience of learning about these facts for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree exactly with that. All right, so let's talk about how we actually thought about the movie in terms of our scores. All right, for narrative, I gave it an 80.
75 for me.
Really? I went with a 90.
Okay.
Writing, I give it a 70.
I'm at a 55.
I'm going to go with 75.
acting, I gave a 90.
90 for me as well.
90.
Nice.
Themes, I give it an 85.
80 for me.
90.
Aesthetics, I give it an 80.
85.
75.
Okay. So we all kind of like the movie.
Yeah.
Except for Yusuf's writing is definitely below average. Let's see. Let's see where I kind of disagree with you guys.
I've watched this once.
Yeah.
I usually watch these things twice, so I'm not fresh, especially when it comes to writing.
Stop the podcast. This is the twice what? Over. If you didn't watch it twice, just get off the mic right now. What are you doing? No, I'm just kidding. Right. I only watched it once as well. I mean, this is a new movie. We have a very condensed timeline to watch it, and I think honestly, sometimes I feel like this is a better evaluation than like movies we've seen a long time ago and liked, because it's very fresh. You know, we have the same experience that everyone's going to have watching this movie.
But I'm saying specifically with writing, with stuff like that, I don't catch on a lot of the stuff as much as you obviously would want to. So my writing score is up for that one. Maybe
well,
that'll change.
I mean,
after
me and you are
you
really
say.
Close on it. But yeah, you really like the narrative. I can see why. I think we'll have a good discussion with that, because that's where I have most of my thoughts. But in terms of our overall tallies, for me and Yusuf, it both comes out to a 78. But Farhan, you're up at an 87.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's more distribution than I was expecting, to be honest. And I think that's particularly probably because of, how Farhan, you weight your categories versus us, perhaps. Because I think most of our scores are kind of within 5-10 points of each other, with, you know, a couple, one or two notable outliers. But that still made a significant kind of... distinction for your score.
Yeah, so for Farhan, acting and narrative is usually the top two, and he got 90s for both of them, right?
Right,
so
and acting, I think, we're all at a 90 for acting, so I think we all agree there. Interesting. Okay, so should we get into it?
All right, let's get into it.